Yes, hello. Thank you very much for taking your time today to follow this conference call on full year 2018 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Simone Montanari, Piaggio Group Chief Financial Officer. During today's conference call, we will be using the presentation you can download from our website. And as usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. And now I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Simone Montanari.
Hello everyone, thanks for attending our call. I'm glad to start the call with some slides that you should have that summarize the great efforts made by the company and the results in the last 5 years in our path towards the improvement of operational and financial performance. As you can see on page four, in 2018, we achieved sound results at all levels compared to last year. In particular, at volume level, we grew more than 9%, which represents the fastest growing rate to date since the IPO. In this context, Vespa stood out, growing around 16%, topping at 210,000 units, which represents an all-time high since the IPO. Net sales went up mid-single digit despite Forex and 8.2% excluding Forex, with all geographies positively contributing. In terms of margin, Piaggio posted sound growth in all operating metrics, reaching an all-time profitability peak at EBITDA level. More importantly, these outstanding results have been achieved despite unsupported market demand in Western countries' 50cc segment. At cash generation level, which is and will remain our key priority, we achieved sound results notwithstanding higher capital expenditure invested in support new initiatives. Notably, we generated around €39 million of cash flow available for shareholders in the year. Having these strong results in mind, we can go to page five to have a medium-term picture. As you can see on page five, since 2013, when the European two-wheeler market demand reached the trough, the group steadily improved all key financial metrics, thus proving our ability to manage the cost base while retaining the ability to grow, enhancing mix and increasing efficiency. Noteworthy, in 2018, we added another milestone to our journey of sound and profitable growth, with, in detail, revenues at €1.39 billion, that is €180 million increasing compared to 2013. EBITDA at 14.5% compared to the 12.1% in 2013, and leverage ratio at 2.1 compared to the 3.3 in 2013. We can now move to page six to have a snapshot of the main market trends. We ended 2018 with diverging dynamics. Western countries, 50cc, slightly down, and emerging posting healthy growth across the year. More in detail, Europe ended its bumpy demand trend down by 2% versus prior year. As flagged during our prior conference call during the year, this outcome stemmed from specular dynamics. Sharp decline of the 50cc segment that was still compensating from the strong growth of the latter part of 2017, linked and driven by the shift from Euro 2 to Euro 4 regulation, and sequentially stronger demand for over 50cc vehicles, which ended up high single digit compared to last year, with positive demand spread across all major European countries. Looking at the trend by countries, I would like to highlight that Spain and Italy had been the best performers, ending with positive demand both in scooter and motorbikes. Notably, Italy ended the fourth consecutive year of slight demand improvement, very important. If we move now to North America, unfortunately, US remained the only country on a different path, ending again down, notably in scooter. Asia Pacific ended another year progressing, The positive trend was particularly strong in Philippines, up by 20%, followed by Indonesia, up high single digit, and Vietnam, up mid single digit. At the end, in India, ended 2018 with a record demand in all segments. Three-wheeler light commercial vehicles demand ended up by 31% versus 2017, topping more than 700,000 units, which represents an all-time high. On the other side, and on the other market in which we play, Indian two-wheelers upward trend continued, with scooter ending up by 9%, topping 7 million units, and bikes up by 15%, topping 14.7 million units. Both segments thus reached an all-time high for the country, strengthening India's position as the world's biggest two-wheeler market. Let's move to page 7 to have an in-depth analysis of Piaggio Group results by business. Overall volumes continued to trend up across the year, ending up 9% over 2017. This upward trend was mirrored at the revenue level, which ended with a growth of around 4% or 8% at constant Forex, stemming from synchronized growth in all geographic areas apart from US. Similarly, all businesses gave a positive growth contribution, led by light commercial vehicles, with revenues up around 11% or 14% at constant Forex, and in two-wheelers, revenues up around 2% or 3% at constant Forex. More in detail, looking at the performance by geographic area, India confirmed to be the main engine of growth, both in absolute and in relative percentage terms. Indian two-wheelers volumes and revenues kept on surging despite the softer market demand trend in the latter part of the year, mainly benefiting from strong growth of Vespa sales on the other side, but also thanks to the success of the Aprilia brand in the region. Indian light commercial vehicles kept posting healthy performance, driven by bold contribution of both domestic and export sales. I would like to highlight that domestic volumes were the highest since 2014, while exports have been the highest to date. This synchronized improvement of domestic sales together with the strong acceleration of exports is extremely positive looking forward, as testified by January 2019 data, where I see a plus 18% at domestic and plus 17% in export. Notably, both in two-wheelers and light commercial vehicles, average prices rose, excluding Forex. Asia-Pacific performance positive accelerated across the year, with volumes ending up by 10%, leading to a 4% growth in revenues, or around 9% at constant Forex. From a country standpoint, I'm glad to highlight that Vietnam finally resumed its growing path, and in 2018, with both volumes and revenues on the rise. Among other countries, the strongest contribution to growth came from Indonesia, which ended 2018 with the best performance on the record, as well as Thailand, which ended another outstanding year, confirming to be the second most important country of the region, both at volume and revenue level. China and Taiwan posted strong growth as well. So all in all, 2018 has been a year of widespread healthy growth in the region, finally. Two-wheeler Western countries ended with the revenues slightly up at constant Forex, despite unsupported market demand, both in Europe 50cc and US bikes and scooter. Notably, positive mix and price actions, also benefiting from the successful launch of new products, namely the new version of Vespa and MP3-500, neutralized volume market weakness, thus confirming the strength of our brands. Let's move now to page 8 to have a look at the breakdown of the performance by product. First of all, I'd like to highlight again the improving momentum in scooter, which revenues grew in all geographic areas. Namely, and more importantly, Vespa volumes growth accelerated throughout the period, scoring a plus 16% compared to 2017 on the back of positive performance in all geographic areas, as we will see later. Among the scooters, to be highlighted the positive performance also of MP3, which performance strengthened also on the back of the introduction of the new version in the second part of the year. This bodes extremely well for 2019, as we are introducing a brand new version of the MP3 equipped with the new 300 engine for starting from Q2. Looking at the bikes, the mismatch that you can see between volumes plus 11% and revenues minus 7% has been linked to the negative mix effect, not to average pricing, namely, in particular, in US, where a big portion of our sales are represented by high displacement vehicles, and our volumes declined, dragged down by the prolonged market weakness. We added one other page on page 9 to fully dedicate to Vespa and to give you more granularity on Vespa performance. As said before, Vespa hit the record volumes and revenues since the IPO. In particular, Vespa volumes growth accelerated across the year, ending up with a sound plus 16% compared to 2017. As you can see on the slide, the growth came from all major geographic areas, reaching 210,000 vehicles sold in the year. Notably, Vespa grew in EMEA, outstripping demand trend, gaining 1.2 percentage points of market share in Europe versus 2017. Again, the average selling price went up across the board, further improving the strength and the broad appeal of the brand and the product. Moving down to page 10, we can have a look at the EBITDA bridge. As said before, the EBITDA grew by 4.9% or 7.4% at constant forex, reaching a sound €202 million that has been the best performance since 2017, and above all, with a margin on sales of 14.5% compared to the 14.4% of last year. This result was driven by the sound performance at gross margin level, which grew by €18 million with a slight uplift of the margin on net sales, which topped at 30.5% compared to the 30.4% in 2017. And it is worth noting that even excluding the positive currency effect, gross margin would have been 30.1%, thus above our medium-term target, that is the 30%. In absolute terms, as you can see on the charts, the cash gross margin growth has been driven by the net sales improvement, which has more than offset the negative effects stemming from the dilutive geographical mix of results from a raw material cost increase. Lastly, if we look at the cash operating expenses, they ended slightly up versus below prior year, reflecting heightened marketing expenses to support new initiatives and business growth. Coming to slide 11, we can analyze the net profit bridge. Net result surged 80%, plus €16 million, with a significant uplift of margin on net sales that reached 2.6 percentage points compared to the 1.5 of last year. These sound results stem from the higher EBITDA, as commented before, as expected, lower D&A after the peak reached in 2017, and as expected again, lower financial expenses as we started reaping off the benefit of lower level of debt and of the recent actions to lower down the cost of borrowing. Additional April bond issues generated a one-off positive effect of €0.1 million, stemming from the difference between the positive delta fair value and the premiums paid. Again, and finally, lower tax rate versus last year, 46.8% against the 50% of last year, generating a positive effect of around €2.2 million. I remind you that in 2017, we had a step up in the tax rate at the end of 2017 due to the write-down of the U.S. deferred tax asset to comply with the tax reform that was accounted for around €3 million. We can now move to slide 12, which summarizes the figures just discussed. Net sales in the year from €1,332 million up to €1,390 million, up 4.3% or 8.2% excluding €52 million of forex negative effect, mainly linked to the India rupee, the US dollar, and the Vietnamese dong devaluation compared to last year. Gross margin slightly up at 30.5% on net sales compared to the 30.4%. EBITDA margin up from 14.4% up to 14.5%, EBIT from €72.3 million to €93 million, up 28.3%, with the margin on sales up 1.2 percentage point from 5.4 to 6.7. Net income from 20 euro million in 2017 up to 36.1 euro million, namely plus 80%. Furthermore, you can notice at the bottom of the slide the good performance at cash flow level that led the net debt 18 euro million below year end 2017. Let's move to the following page to have an in-depth analysis of the evolution of the cash flow and the net debt. More in detail. The operating cash flow grew against last year on the back of the higher EBITDA, namely 145 euro million compared to 135 of last year. Working capital generated an additional positive contribution for the first consecutive year, proving that the more we grew, the more we have better performance at working capital level. And capital expenditure was significantly higher than last year, driven by the higher focus on new product launches. And despite capital expenditure, we generated healthy free cash flow of around 43 euro million, and the change in equity that was higher than last year, also reflecting a 4 euro million negative effect linked to the application of the accounting IFRS 9. As a result, we produced 18 euro million in the year of cash that pushed down the net debt level at 429 and the leverage at 2.1, in line with our target for the year.
Okay, now we are ready for the Q&A session.
We remind all participants to dial star 1 to book a question. The first question comes from Monica Bosio of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on Europe. The group had very good results, notwithstanding European volumes, which were down due to the 50cc segment dropping. Now, in 2019, I believe that the situation for 50cc could be more stable. Can you just give us an indication of your expected growth in volumes for Europe? And a similar question for the Indian market for the LCV. Is it possible to project a double-digit growth for the LCV Indian market? And the very last two questions, one is the usual feeling from you about the current consensus, which is pointing to an EBITDA between 214 and 215, if you feel confident about this. And very last, can you please give us an indication, a rough indication of the DNA for 2019 and the coming years? Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Bosio. Starting from your first question, that is Europe expectation. In Europe, we expect that revenues will go up at least mid-single digit, primarily on the back of several new product launches, starting from the new Moto Guzzi, and then we will have the new MP3, the new Vespa GTS, and the Vespa X. And this will bring positive price mix effect. Additionally, we should also benefit from the mild demand increase driven by the replacement cycle both in 50cc and over 50cc. January data and February data first estimates are encouraging for us, and we saw a plus 10% in market size both in January and in February. Coming to India, in particular India LCV and Indian two-wheelers, we expect to keep on growing, maybe at a slower pace than 2018, but also thanks to the introduction of a new Aprilia scooter Storm 125 that will take place in Q2. We should keep on growing also in LCV, and your expectation, I feel comfortable with your expectation, also thanks to the introduction of several new models and to the expansion of the dealer network. So all in all, we expect that in India we will see a double-digit growth for two-wheelers and something between mid-single-digit and double-digit for LCV.
Okay.
Coming from the consensus at EBITDA level, you mentioned the 214, 215, and I'm confident and fine with this expectation. Coming to the D&A level, we reached €110 million in 2017, and I expect that considering the CapEx that we had in 2018, that were 115, sooner or later the two levels, CapEx and D&A, will balance. So I expect that in 2019, we will have something in the region between 110 and 115.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Michele Baldelli of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. I have a couple of questions. The first one relates to the capitalization of costs and the development costs. If you can update us on the amount that was in 2017, a reminder, and in what was in 2018 that you booked. And then another question concerns the launch of the electric vehicles. Besides the Vespa, do you plan to launch the three wheels electric version in India? When, how, and what are the, let's say, characteristics of these vehicles? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Baldelli. The first question, the level of capitalization we had in 2018 compared to 2017 in terms of labor cost. In 2018, we had €33 million compared to the 26 in 2017, so plus €7 million. In terms of product range, electric product range, yes, the answer is yes. We are already working on extending the product range to electric technology and also to capitalizing on the hybrid technology that we already have. We mentioned that in 2019 we will have the Vespa hybrid, and then we will extend the product range to wheelers starting from 2020 on. As for three-wheelers, in India, we are working on electric light commercial vehicles that maybe see the market at the end of 2019.
And what shall we assume in terms of profitability for these vehicles?
Profitability at which level, if I may?
Yes.
Well, on an average industry level, profitability of electric vehicles at the moment are still lower compared to average product. So I expect that in 2019, our electric range will have a lower profitability, but also significantly lower volumes compared to the average one.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Renato Gargiulo of Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Well, my first question is on price mix. So you stated that in Europe you expect still a favorable price mix for this year. I was wondering if you can give us any more indication about your overall price mix, so looking also at the other regions. My second question is about European 50cc, so what are your expectations for this year, given the last year's drop in volumes? And then the third question is on Asia, the rest of Asia. We have seen a good trend across most markets last year. Can you give us an update about your local strategy and your expected development also in terms of dealer network? And if I may, a final question on CapEx. What can you give us a guidance for this year? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gargiulo. Price mix. Well, if I look at 2018 compared to 2017, the only relevant issue or matter that we have to cite in price mix is Europe, where we have a growth in terms of revenues higher than the growth in terms of volumes, and this is due thanks to the product range. I think that this will keep on also in 2019. So the product, the new product range, I'm thinking about the new bikes, the Moto Guzzi, the Vespa, will have on an average basis a higher price compared to 2018, and so we will benefit from this. I do not see anything similar in the other countries or regions. So basically, it is Europe the one that will have an impact in terms of price mix and average prices. European 50cc market, the answer is yes. This is at least what I see. In January and February, the 50cc segment is driven and is driving the growth compared to 2018, and I think that this will remain also for the remaining part of the year. I think that it will grow up more than 10%. Asia and growth strategy in Asia, well, we had a sound result in 2018 in Asia because volumes grew +9%, revenues grew +10% if you do not consider Forex, +9% considering Forex. We were expecting this low teen growth because it was a couple of years that we were working on Asia reorganization, starting from our commercial organization, but also going into the dealer network expansion. We will go on doing this also in 2019, and I'm pretty confident that this +10% will remain also for 2019 expectation. The last question was in CapEx, level of CapEx. I think that 2019 will be in line with 2018.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Emanuele Gallazzi of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I have three questions. The first one is on the U.S. market. The overall demand of two-wheeler was still weak in 2018, so I was wondering if you can share with us your view on this market and your expectation for 2019. The second one is on the partnership with Foton. I just want an update on this project and your expectation in terms of both volume and pricing for these new vehicles. And the very last one is on factoring. Can you give us an update on the level of factoring in 2008 compared to 2017?
Thanks, Mr. Galassi. I will start with your second question, that is the partnership with Foton. The partnership with the project with Foton is proceeding in line with our expectation, so everything is in line with the product plan and the program plan. We will launch the new product starting from the end, the second part of 2020, and I think that in 2021 we will have a significant growth in terms of volume compared to our current volumes, also because current business, European business in four wheels for us is quite limited. So we will have a percentage growth relevant for sure. Going to the U.S. market, it is true that we are coming from a weak 2018, that it has been difficult compared to 2017, both in scooter and in bikes. My expectation is that the scooter market will be flat compared to last year in 2019, while in the bike one we may have still a small weak decrease compared to the year. The last question was on factoring. In particular, I assume factoring on receivable. Factoring on receivable in 2018 has been for €87 million. That is in line with the 2017 one, which has been €85 million. Reverse factoring instead was around €182 million, again in line with December 2017, where it was €181 million. I remind you that this reverse factoring has been fully accounted, fully included in our balance sheet in commercial payables. So you do not have to sum up again to add this reverse factoring amount.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from François Robillard of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. First one is about Vespa. On slide 9, I guess, of the presentation, you give us a growth rate by region. Could we get a bit more color on the breakdown in terms of volumes in each of these regions? And the last one was about a recent subsidiary that was made by the Italian state. I think they planned on helping customers at around, I think it was €10 million for 2019. Do you have any comment on that? Do you see any advantage on on Italian sales for the year? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Villar. Starting from your first question, Vespa volumes, we said that on page nine, we reached a peak level of 210,000 vehicles sold across the year. If I look at the Vespa by region, if this is your question, basically we accounted for around 75,000 vehicles in Asia Pacific, around 50,000 vehicles in India, and the remaining 80,000-85,000 in Western countries. Going to your second question, that is Italian state subsidiary for electric vehicles, they are welcome, and we will benefit from them, it's in line with our expectation. If I look at the amount of cash that has been accounted for these subsidizing, that is 10 euro million, and if I consider the prices of electric vehicles, I think that for the whole market, Italian market, and so for all the players, we may have something in the region of 5,000 vehicles subsidized.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Niccolò Storer of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is related to Piaggio Fast Forward and your guidance. You said that you're confident to reach 214-215 million. Which kind of cost and revenues related to Piaggio Fast Forward are included in this number, considering that you said that production operation will start in the second part of the year? The second question is on your tax rate. I see that it remains particularly high. Is there any chance to see the percentage increasing in the coming quarters, or what should we expect going forward? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Storer. EBITDA. So the guidance is the consensus stays at 215 euro million. We are confident with this guidance, and we already accounted inside this guidance all the costs that may come from PFF. With a conservative approach, I don't think that from a P&L side we will have significant differences in terms of impact in our P&L in 2019 compared to 2018, coming from the potential cost and in case sales of PFF, also because, again, it's not something that will change our P&L in 2019. If I look at the consensus, I see also that at that level of in the region of 405-410 euro million is projected for the end of 2019, and with this debt level we already considered also the potential working capital needs coming from PFF. Coming to the tax rate, yes, has been in the region of 47% this year. I think that we may think something again at 45% for 2019, depending on the geographical mix contribution of our results. If I have to go below 45%, it's not something that I see in the near future.
And could you foresee rather an increase, considering that if I'm not wrong, starting from this year, you will lose the tax benefits from Vietnam?
No, there will be no change coming from Vietnam in this year, so I don't think there will be any impact coming from there. And again, I don't see any risk in this moment on this 45%, beside a significantly different geographical contribution to our results that in this moment I do not see. We have also to consider that in 2019 we expect to close the patent box, and so I think that we will not have only risk but also some potential opportunities to catch.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Gabriele Gambarola of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Thank you. You mentioned, Simone, you mentioned the patent box. Is it possible to have an idea what could be the benefit?
Yes, it will be in the range of around 3 million when we will close the patent box agreement with the Italian authorities. This is our expectation.
Okay, and concerning CapEx, 2019 saw a certain acceleration to 115 million. Should we consider this level as a run rate, or is it a peak? Where do you see CapEx go in the future?
I'm confident with this level, considering that for 2018 and 2019 and part of 2020, we will have to carry on the project with Photon, so with, for the new four-wheelers. As soon as this project will decrease the level of capital expenditure allocation needs, then we may go down again to 105 and 110.
Okay, and last question from my side. On the Vespa Elettrica, is it possible to have an idea, a sense of the level of booking so far?
Well, it is possible to have an amount of Vespa sold, it's in volumes in 2018, that was in the region of 1,000 vehicles. We just have 2 months in 2019 that, by the way, are affected also by a kind of waiting approach by the end customers that are waiting for subsidizing, for example, in Italy. I think that by the end of the year, the volumes that we will sell for electric Vespa, including also the hybrid one, will be in the region of 3,000 vehicles per year.
Okay,
also considering the European market of electric vehicles, that will be something in the region of 30,000 vehicles per year and mainly constituted by corporate fleets. So the market is still very limited. We will have, I think, a significant portion of that market because we are leaders, we are a strong brand, we are an excellent technology in electric, but on the other side, the average price is still pretty high compared to the average pricing of the product, and so the market and our volumes will be limited.
Okay, just a very quick follow-up on the tax rate and patent box. The 45% you mentioned for 2019 does not factor in the possible benefit from the patent box, or it does?
The patent box is an upside opportunity.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from Tom José of Neuberger Burman. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had a quick clarification on the press release that you sent out earlier today. The opening cash balance that's shown as of this report is 10,066,000. But if I look back on the 3Q half-year, 1Q statements, the opening cash balance as of previous year was 127 million. So it must be a reclassification thing. I was just wondering if you could help bridge that delta.
Well, I do not see the figures that you are referring to here in front of me. If you may, we will get in touch with you later, also with Mr. Raffaele Lupotto, and we will try to reconcile the two figures. The first thing that comes to my mind is that we are referring to the IFRS 9 reclassification.
Okay, I can do that. I guess on that same note, the tax paid for the full year, and of course referring to the same report, page 14, is 2.5 million, whereas for the first 9 months, you had a tax paid of close to 20 million, 19.8. Are we to assume there was a tax rebate for the fourth quarter?
I assume that we have. If I got your answer, your question, we are referring to the DTA that we have in our balance sheet, and in particular in the P&L, the portion of the DTA that we recorded in the last part of the year. But I have to look at the figures that you mentioned, then we will get you an answer.
Okay, I'll follow it up by email. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at the moment. Again, if you have a question, please press star then one.
Okay, I think that now we can end the conference call. Thank you everybody for attending this call, and as usual, if you need more info or clarification, you can call me later today or so tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.